Old Testament passage, and I want to look at a New Testament passage, and then we'll get started this morning. So first of all, take your Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 2, and hold that in one hand, and then go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34, and get that in another hand, and that'll be our two scriptures, and then we'll preach this morning. First of all, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 2. Everybody hear me okay? What about in the back? It just don't sound like I'm as loud as usual. Okay, all right. I want to make sure. I don't care if you get offended with what I say. I just want you to know what I say. I want you to know what you're mad about. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. Matthew 12, 34, and Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 2. Alright, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 2, here's what it says. It says this. It says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few." Alright? And now let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34. Matthew 12, 34. Here's Jesus speaking. He says this. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye be an evil, speak good things?" Here we go. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." All right. I'm going to ask Brother Tony Wilson, if he would, to please pray for the message today, and we'll get into it. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, help me. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the years, I have said, and I've heard other Christians say, some things that they just didn't think through clearly before they said it. Am I the only one guilty in here with that this morning? No, I'm afraid not. I think we ought to think before we speak. Amen? I've heard it said this, "It's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." I've heard it also said, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth. That means we need to listen twice as much as we speak. The wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth besides the Lord Jesus Christ said over here in this passage we just read that we are not to be rash with our mouth. We are not to be hasty in what we say. And then we saw the wisest man that did ever walk the face of the earth over here in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12 saying that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen to me, everybody. You and I don't just say something by accident. We say it because it came from the heart. And when you look at that thing over there in the Old Testament, it said, hey, you need to be careful about what you say. You don't need to be hasty in what you say. Don't be rash about it. I've heard folks say, well, you thought it, you might as well say it. That's the most foolish, idiotic, stupid, unbiblical thing I've ever heard in my life. Believe you me, you don't want me to say everything I thought. I don't want to hear everything you thought. If you think it and you dwell on it, that's one sin. If you speak it, then that's two. We don't have to hear your opinion. We don't have to hear what you have to say all the time. Just because you think it don't mean you have to say it. But if you do say it, the Bible tells us you just didn't say it by happenstance. You said it because it came from your heart. Whether good or bad, it came from your heart. Now, what I want to look at is that the fact that for several years now, I have been collecting some common phrases I hear Christians say and some phrases that I have said and try not to say, but sometimes do. And it's just some things you just don't say. That's the title of my message this morning, by the way, is some things you just don't say. And over the years of my ministry, I've just been writing some of these down every once in a while and taking note of them. Some things that I hear Christians, some common phrases. I'm not talking to lost people this morning. I'm talking about common phrases, common things said by Christians and by yours truly, unfortunately, that you just don't need to be saying. Because you're being rash in what you're saying, and it's reflecting your heart in what you're saying, and it's just things that we don't need to be saying. Now, I have a bunch of them, and I won't be able to use all of them this morning. I don't know how many of them I'm going to use. I'm still not sure. I've been praying about which ones to preach on. Like I said, I've been collecting these for many years now. But I'm just going to pray and ask for the Lord's guidance and go over as many of these as we can and show you that you and I need to stop and think as God's people about what we're saying. We need to stop and think about what we're saying, because when we say that, many times it's reflecting something in our heart. Whether it's reflecting ignorance of the Scripture or pride or rebellion or whatever, there's some things that we need to be careful about what we say. All right. I want to mention some of them today, and that'd be the message. Here we go. Number one. Now, this first one here, it can be said in two or three different ways, but it's the same thought. Here's what I hear Christians say. I'd never do that. Some of them say it like this, or I'll never do that again. Oh, and you can sort of, as a little addendum to that, my child would never do that. That's three stupid things for any child of God to say. Don't you ever say, I would never do that. Don't you ever say, I'll never do that again, or my child would never do that. Listen, if you and I don't walk in the Spirit and stay in the Bible and stay in church and stay on our knees in prayer, you don't know what you might do or I might do. Some fella coming up saying, I'd never do that, or I'm never going to do that again. You better say, by the grace of God, and God to help me, and the Spirit of God to protect me, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to try with all my heart not to do it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you start to, about the time you think you've arrived, and about the time you think you stand and think you're not going to do something again, and think you've got the victory, that's when you go down. There's been many of people, I've seen them in church, they get saved and they get delivered from a bad habit, and I see it coming. They start getting that little self-righteous stuff about them, and they want to go around and correct everybody else and get on to other folks because they don't have the same convictions and standards, and they're prancing around. I'm going, you better get that check, brother. You're going to be right back in that same mess you were in, because pride cometh before the fall. And I've seen it over and over and over. You better check your heart, because if you're saying stuff like this, that means you've got a heart problem. If you're saying something like, I would never do that, or I'll never do that again, then that means you don't understand the flesh. That means you don't understand the sinful nature. Your sinful nature is not eradicated. Now, you've had a spiritual circumcision if you've been saved, and your soul's been cut loose from your body, and thank God you got the Lord Jesus Christ that's possessed you, and He sealed you to the day of redemption, and we're going to heaven, we've got eternal security, but that body ain't saved. That's why when you get saved and you die, you get to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, but the body's still down there. This old flesh ain't saved. And this flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And so don't you, this business, well, I never do that, or I'm never going to do that again. You better say, by the grace of God. You know what that tells me when you say that? It tells me there's some pride there. You're not aware of it. You're not aware of your wickedness. You're not aware of your ability that at any time you can sin, and you can sin grossly. Any of us. And then this business about, well, I never do that, or I'll never do that again, or my child will never do that. First of all, Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's not your child, that's not my child, that's all children. I like the last part of that. Some of you need to get a hold of it. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. This ain't what my message is about this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody wanting to do this new stuff, time out and put them in the cubicle and those. I'm going to tell you, the rod will get it done according to the Bible. Well, my child just stubborn and I tell you, when I try to whip them and spank them, it just don't work. No, you just don't do it right. You do it like I used to tell Zachariah when he was a little boy. I say, son, let me tell you something right now before we begin. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. We can have just a very few licks and hardly no pain. Or you're going to remember one thing, son. I'm going to win and you're going to lose. And I don't care how hard-headed of a child you've got. You just stand your ground and say no. You can scream, you can cry, you can hold your breath, you can turn blue, you'll pass out and come back too. But you're not manipulating your mom and daddy. We run the house, you don't. And that Bible says the rod will get the right response if we got some parents that can do it right. Now that ain't my message this morning, but I just wanted to interject that. I'm tired of this new philosophy and this new psychology and humanistic mess. That I know different children have different personalities. I know some are more stubborn than others. I know that. But either this Bible's right or it's not. So it must be that if the Bible is right and we believe it's right, then the one that's applying the rod just ain't doing it right. Amen. Thank you, Brother Russell. I'm glad one person approves of that. That business, I'd never do that. I'll never do that again. My child, you better watch your mouth when you're saying stuff like that. You know the Lord's up in heaven, he listens to that. I wonder sometimes he listens to that, he goes, oh, really? You'd never do that. I ain't going to tell you what it's about. I ain't even going to, I'll just tell you this, and I want to go on to the next point. I remember when we were in Bible college, and we all, just a young bunch of young men in there, we not married or anything, and we just, you know, about bad as some women just sitting around the table gossiping and talking and everything. I remember I come out of my dorm room one time and I said, now then I was young and stupid, just young and stupid. I said, yeah, I just got through praying, fellas. Yeah. And I said, there's something I've been praying about and I know I'll never do it again now. I said that. And they were all looking at me. Well, I'm glad you, yeah, amen. I pranced around that dorm like a peacock. It wasn't a week. Done the same thing. Listen, you don't say stuff like that. You don't know what you might do. Oh, here's another good. I got so many good ones. I just don't know which ones to use this morning. But I'm going to use this one because I've had it up to here with this. God told me to tell you. Boy, that bugs me. Let me tell you something. You better watch your mouth when you start speaking on God's behalf. Amen. These crazy people say they got some kind of gift to walk up. God told me to tell you. He did. Well, what I'm wanting to know is that I'm saved. I've got the same Holy Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm trying to live for God. Why is God going the long way around when He can just come to me? Amen. Let me tell you something. You start speaking on God's behalf, you better not speak on His behalf out of anything but this word. Now, you can say God told me to tell you if you quote this. That's from God. These crazy Christians, I don't know if they get the devil in them or if they just get all hyped up or whatever, running around telling everybody, God told me to tell you this and God told me to. Listen, you better watch about taking God's name in vain and telling somebody God told me. Well, I had a vision last night. No, you ate too much Italian food before you went to bed. You were having dreams. That wasn't Jesus at the foot of the bed. That was some lasagna coming back up. You should have took your antacid. That was the problem. God didn't tell you to come tell me anything. And listen, half the time the stuff that fella or that lady's doing ain't even in the Bible. And that's where I got a real problem. Don't you come to me and tell me God told me to tell you to take your truck down there by the river and throw your noodles out over there, and that's where you catch a 50-pound catfish. You start telling me anything that ain't in this book, I don't have to listen to you. And I tell you what that crowd will do. They'll say, well, you're just blaspheming the Holy Ghost. because the Holy Ghost told me to tell. Nah, there was a spirit that told you something, sister. But it wasn't the Holy Ghost. You're absolutely right about one thing. There's a spirit talking to you. Amen. You better watch that stuff. You better watch that emotional feeling. Well, God told me to go up and tell you this. And now I'm the Holy Spirit now, and I'm supposed to straighten you out because I got a message straight from God just for you. And I hope we don't have any problem with that in here, because I haven't heard that in here, but through my life of being around Christians, I've heard that quite often. And I think you just about 99.99% out of the time, you're just full of baloney. I mean, you think you're more of yourself than you. And listen. If you did think God told you to tell me something, I would be so reserved and patient and fasting and praying before I ever told you. But these people ain't like that. They just get up the next day and just find you and call you on the phone. I just got to tell you something. I just got to come over here. I mean, God told me to tell you. You better watch. Do you know what that's reflective of, why you just don't say that? You're just taking God as some kind of joke. Do you realize how much trouble you're in if you have been deceived? If a spirit has spoken to you and it ain't the Spirit of God, if you just somehow concocted this stuff, do you know how much trouble you are if I walk up to somebody and I say, God told me to tell you, and then I do that? These old crazy folks, where they just flying around here, got this wild look in their eyes. God told me to tell you. And God, they don't even know what they're doing. Bunch of nuts. And some of you ain't guilty of that, are you, the way you're looking at me? Now, this means, no, you don't have the gift of prophecy. The only gift of prophecy you got is what this thing says. I'm going to tell you, therein lies the problem. See, these folks say, well, God spoke to me. Listen. Anything outside of this Bible, I don't have to pay no attention to. No attention to. Because the Bible says I have a more sure word of prophecy. God may have spoke to you. He may not have spoke to you. I don't know. But I know when I read this old black-back King James Bible, that's God speaking. Now, I know these cardinal Christians running around here saying, God told me to tell you so-and-so. Listen, don't do that. That's just some things you're going to say. Here's another one. I got so many of them. I'm sorry, but. Wrong answer. I'm sorry, but. No, you're not. You ever heard people do that? They'll come up to you, wives and husbands, you have a little fight. Friends, you have a little argument. You know, pastor and people have a little argument, whatever. And somebody comes up and they're acting like they're the big man in the thing and they're going to make an apology. So they come in and they're going to, I'm going to humble myself and make the apology. I'm sorry I said that to you, but the reason I said that is because of what you did. That's no apology. That is no apology. When you say you're sorry, that means you're confessing and admitting that you're wrong. And by the way, I know we have some people in this church today that you have a hard time saying you're sorry. You have a hard time saying you're wrong. Now, I'm going to try not to be mean or anything, because everybody's been jumping on me lately about my mean preaching, and when you do that, that just makes me want to get meaner. It does. It really does. But I'm trying not to be that way. I'm trying to be a little nicer. But if you're sitting out here one of these times and it's hard for you to go, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, it's 100% my fault, I don't care how much you read your Bible, I don't care how much you go to church, and I don't care how much you put into play, and I don't care how spiritual you think you are, you've got some spiritual problems. You've got a problem of pride. And God hates pride. And then some of you say, well, I will say I'm sorry if I thought I was wrong. Oh, you're just never wrong. It's always your spouse, ain't it? It's always everybody else. It's always everybody else in the church. It's always you're never wrong. You're perfect. Listen, if you're not telling somebody you're sorry at least once or twice a week, you're probably backslid. Because I guarantee if you live around somebody, you run your mouth when you shouldn't, you act selfish when you shouldn't, you do things you shouldn't do, and you ought to apologize. I don't want to get into my personal life, but my wife has been upset with me before. She felt like my apologies weren't sincere. And the reason she felt like my apologies weren't sincere is I do it a lot and she don't. But what she don't understand is they are very sincere. I just mess up a lot. I have a lot to apologize for. Unlike Miss Perfect Darby over there. She don't have anything to apologize about. And she thinks because they come so frequently that they're not done in sincerity. But I just mess up so much. And I don't know about you, maybe some people are different. I'm not saying that it's because I'm spiritual. I'm just saying after I've said or done something, it don't take but a few seconds. I start feeling like a dog. And I've got to go to that person and tell them I'm sorry. That's just me. And you say, well, you just do it all the time. I just told you why I do it all the time. Because I have to. When you go up to somebody and say, I'm sorry, but you're not apologizing. You know, I'm sorry I slapped your face, but if you'd quit running your mouth at me, I wouldn't have done it. You know. I'm sorry I cut down your hydrangea bush, but if it hadn't been in the way of the lawnmower, I wouldn't have done it. That's not apologizing. Listen, now I'm being a little facetious. I know it's ha-ha, it's funny. You don't go to God like that. You don't go to God and say, God, I'm sorry I did that, but you know, you shouldn't have put that situation in front of me. I'm sorry I messed up, God, but you, nah, no, no. If I'm really sorry about something, I'm really repentant about something, I want to get it right either with God or I want to get it right with my spouse, I say, you know what? Listen, this is what saying I'm sorry means. This is what confession is. This is confession. God, I am 100% wrong, and you're 100% right. There ain't no buts. There ain't no, if you would have, no. I did wrong. And there was no excuse for it. I never have the right to act bad towards you, even if you act bad toward me. And you just don't go up to somebody and say, I'm sorry, but so. You're not saying you're sorry. You're full of pride, stuck on yourself. Amen. You go up to somebody, you tell them you're sorry. You say, I'm sorry. It's all my fault. People don't want to do that, by the way. You know that, don't you? And by the way, a lot of the marital counseling I do is because of that. I get in marital counseling in that office and other offices I've been in and people sitting there. And we'll try to talk through that thing, and inevitably, one of the spouses will be talking, and the other one say, "Yeah, well, I know that may be right what he said about me, or that may be right what she said about me, but," and you can just see the anger fueling. They won't even sit there and listen to one another and say, "Hey, this is why she's fixing to leave you. Hey, man, hey, you need to listen to that." They won't do it. You know, my rights have been infringed upon. I've been done wrong. I know I shouldn't have done so and so, but you ought to look at what they did. Yep, that's why the marriages can't make it. And your marriage is not going to make it. You need to sit down and shut up. And just like with my wife there. I don't know if she'll ever tell me she's sorry again, and she may think that I do it so frequently it's not much to it or whatever. I can't help what she thinks. I know what I've got to do with me and my wife, and I know what I got to do with me and God. And you know how I am, how I say things, and how many noses are, they just say stuff. And so I have a lot I have to apologize for, and I'm going to do it. As I offend and am aware of it, I will apologize. But I'm not going to run up and say, I'm sorry, but, the, you know, The reason I told you off, because you burnt my cornbread. That ain't apology. Apology. You know what? I'm wanting to move on because I've got so many of these, but I've struck a nerve here. And I mean it. There's some woman, or listen, there's some woman or some man in this church here today, and you're killing your marriage because of your stinking pride that you won't say you're sorry without no buts and no clauses and no whatevers. Just, I'm sorry, I'm 100% wrong. Honey, will you forgive me? And your inability to do it is destroying your marriage. That's something free there about worth about $10,000 to you. Hope you'll take it. Oh, here's another one. Here's another one. Well, I'll quit on time. We still got several minutes here. It's usually said like this. I'm going to do this, or I'll see you in the morning, or something like that. You know what James 4:15 says? It says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I don't always do it, and I slip up, but I try to do this. I try to say, I'm going to see you in the morning, brother, Lord willing. I'm going to go do this, Lord willing. Now, I know what some of you are doing. You're looking at me, you say, ah, Brother Dennis, you're just making a big deal out of nothing. Am I? You know what this society thinks? We never stop and think about our life as but a vapor. We can die any moment. We never stop and think that we're on God's time. He knows when he can. It's God that makes us alive and God that kills us. We never stop and think about any of that stuff. And we just going along there and we just planning stuff. And yeah, I'll pick you up in the morning. We'll go down to Big Little and then we'll go fishing. Yeah, I'll be over there in the morning. We'll go to revival. Yeah, I'll see you at the job site tomorrow. Now, how many times have you heard a fella say that and you didn't see him the next day? You didn't see him the next day. You know what that is? That's our attitude. We think we run our life. Well, we think, listen, I'm going to tell you, we got a row full of young boys and teenagers and all here. I want to tell you all you young boys out there something. Every one of you, I've known of and preached funerals of people younger than all of you. You boys look at me. And some of you got your license and going to get your license and ripping roaring up down the road. And you think you're indispensable and you think you're indestructible and nothing can happen to you. You're crazy. You're crazy. The devil's deceived you. You better understand that God's got your life. I don't care how healthy you are. Brother Daniel talking about that girl in his class, 14 years old, got cancer. And I know what y'all think because I done been there, man. I was 17 one time, could pick up the world. Could run forever. And I know looking at Brother Dennis now, you think I'm lying, but I used to be in shape. If you don't stay in that gym, every one of you is heading for this. Hey, and it ain't just these boys I'm talking to. I'm talking about these adults here. You just go on and live your life and you just think you've got it all. Listen, I might be talking to someone right now that you will not be here next Sunday because you're either going to be in heaven or in hell. And when you say that stuff like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, that's a reflection of your heart that you're not considering. But you're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. We have to realize that. You need to start learning to say, Lord willing. I'm going to do that. Now, it's a funny thing. I hear older people do that. I'll never hear nobody young. If you're 18 or 20 years old and younger, you never say that. You know why, don't you? You don't think you're going to die. You think it's just older people. I wish some of you, younger people that just want to get out there and fool around with sin and live your life up, I wish I had a time traveling machine and I could go back to the beginning of my ministry and certain scenes and certain funerals. I could put you in a time traveling machine and take all you young people in here with me. I remember times, not at this church, even at other churches, when I was at another church showing up
at an emergency room. A woman falling down out in the parking lot, children crying, her husband just been electrocuted to death. I remember showing up at a funeral home. A little baby had passed away. The baby, honest to goodness, looked like it was in a doll case. Mama in this corner, daddy in this corner, both of them crying, fixing the divorce, upset. Preach funerals where they close the casket. Y'all just rip and roar up now. Oh, we just got plenty of time. We can just do whatever. We just got plenty of time. You're a fool. You're a fool. You don't know how much time you have. And so you better talk like it. Because when you don't talk like it and you say stuff like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get out, I'm going to live forever and all that kind of foolish stuff, that shows me there's something wrong with your heart. You don't have all the time in the world. Oh, here's a good one. Oh, man. They say this in a few different ways, but here's basically how they say it. If it had been me, I wouldn't have done it like that. Or I would have done it like this. Boy, you hear that, don't you? Shut up. Please just shut up. Don't say that. You know what I figured out in life? Everybody knows what to do with the tiger except the one that's got him by the tail. I said this before. One of the things that used to aggravate me is I used to go when I was in school and played basketball, and they'd have all these men up there in the stadium, and some of them can't even walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. But these folks would be up there in the stadium, you know, in the stands of that gym, just screaming and hollering and getting mad and shouting and hollering. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody look at me and listen to me. I've played a lot of sports in my life, and I ain't that great of an athlete, but in all the years of sports, I have learned one thing for a fact. It's a lot easier to sit up there in the stands and hoot and holler and cuss and get mad about what ought to be done than to get down there on the field and actually do it. I tell you, it looks a lot different. Everything ain't just as defined as it does up there in the stands. I've heard folks talk about these Alabama and Auburn football coaches. Oh, he ought not call that play. He's a sorry coach. I know you could have done much better. You ain't never played a down of football in your life. They'd have to carry you off the field if you made one play. You'd be sucking wind. You ain't good enough to run you couldn't run a 40-yard dash in 15 minutes. But you know every time that coach makes a bad play, do you? No, you're full of stinking pride. Amen. We don't know what you would do. You might do worse. You look at somebody and say, well, that was me. I just wouldn't handle it that way. Yeah, I bet you wouldn't. Yeah, you might have done a lot worse. There's an old Indian proverb that goes something like this. Don't judge a man until you walk a mile in his moccasins. It's easy to look out yonder at some fella and say, and listen, if that fella's doing something that's contrary to this Bible, he is wrong. You can say that he's not doing it right. But until you get in that same man's position, you might not do what the Bible says either. And you might blow it and do worse than he does. Don't go around saying stuff like that. Oh, they've got so many. I'm going to at least do one more. Oh, here's one. I don't care what people think about me. I do. I just don't care what so-and-so thinks about. Listen. Now, here's the problem. The problem is when you care more about what they think than you do what God thinks. That's when you messed up. But you ought to care what people think about you. You have a testimony. And you're known as something.
And the people know you as either an honest person, a moral person, a person of integrity and of character, a good Christian person, or they don't. It does matter what people think about you. That's why the Bible says that we are to abstain from the appearance of evil. It didn't just say stay away from evil. It says stay away from looking like you're doing evil, because even if you're not doing evil, it's possible for folks to think you're doing evil, and you don't not want folks to think you're doing evil. That's what they think about you. It does matter what other people think. It does. I want a good testimony. You ought to want a good testimony. And it does matter what the Lord thinks about you. Don't say what other people think about you. Don't say stupid things like that. You know what I'm thinking about doing here? I feel like I want to give an invitation this morning. I want to give people plenty of time to get right with God and that not be rushed. I may just continue this tonight. You come back tonight. I still got some real good ones here. You come back tonight and I'll give these to you, okay? Some things you just don't say. But let's just review just for a minute what we have went over. People saying, I never do that. I'll never do that again. My child will never do that. Are you guilty? This God told me to tell you business. Are you guilty? I'm sorry, but boy, the Lord had me really land on that this morning. Maybe there's somebody here, you have a hard time saying you're sorry. You're going to have a hard time being a good partner in any type of relationship if you do. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. You don't realize that you ought to say, Lord willing, we are. Yeah, if it had been me, I would have done this. Yeah, I know you would. You're a champion. I know that's exactly what you would have done. I don't care what people think about me. Those are all things you should not say. And if you say them, it reflects something in your heart that isn't right. And I want to encourage you and challenge you that whatever that is this morning, Pleasant Grove, whatever that is, as soon as we start the hymn of invitation, heads bowed, eyes closed, that you'd come to the altar. Come on. Even right now, whatever it is God's speaking to you about, would you just move and come to the altar? Ask God to help you. Ask Him to help you.